Model 2. IBM Model 1 considers that all initial alignments at word level have an equal probability. That is, all the source words M sub S can be linked to all target words M sub T with an equal probability at the beginning of the alignment process. This is clearly wrong. One can easily observe that word order is often roughly similar between different languages, especially between typologically related languages such as French and English. This is, of course, not always true, but there is nonetheless a strong correlation between the word order in the source and target languages in this case. Model 2 thus modifies Model 1 by taking into account in its calculation the relative position of word M sub T in relation to the source word M sub S. This does not fundamentally change the previously mentioned algorithm, but leads to better results and speeds up the learning process before reaching convergence. Model 3. Model 3 is notably more complicated than Model 2. Its goal is mainly to better formalize the question of the 1 to N correspondences, where one word in the source language is translated with many words in the target language. See, for example, potato in English, which corresponds to pomme de terre in French. This issue is not addressed by the previous models, but is very common when translating between any languages. IBM Model 3 also addresses other related problems. The article the is often translated as one word in French, les, la, les, elle, but is also often omitted. Only may be translated as Suleiman, but also by the expression ne, other content, que, two non-contiguous words, etc. The IBM team thus proposed to add to Model 2 fertility probabilities that indicate for each word in the source sentence the possible number of words in the target sentence. By default, each single word is translated by another simple word, but for potato, the translation is pomme de terre, which means there are systematically three words in French in this case. For the, zero or one word can be generated, etc. A related process aims at extrapolating a number of semantically empty words in the target sentence. This solves one of the limitations of previous models, since they always need a word in the source language in order to be able to generate a word in the target language. For example, to translate il est avocat into he is a lawyer, the English article a must be added, which was not possible with the previous model, IBM Model 2. This problem is solved through distortion probabilities, which allow for empty positions during alignment in order to properly generate these new words in the target language. Model 4. The IBM team then observed that some parts of a sentence can be moved more or less freely and that this may be the cause of structure variation between a sentence and its translation. A pair of sentences may have the same structure in the source and the target language, but differ because one phrase has been moved. For example, he has lived in New York since last year versus il habitait depuis l'année dernière à New York. The two sentences have the same structure except that in New York, à New York, is at the end of the sentence in the French version. The previous models, mainly based on correspondences at word level, were not very good at tackling this kind of problem. Model 4 therefore modified the distortion probabilities proposed in Model 3 to account for these blocks of text that can move within the sentence. Model 5. Model 5 did not make any fundamental modifications to Model 4, but made it possible to avoid irrelevant sequences that would be otherwise considered given the way the problem is formalized. Model 5 is more accurate mathematically, but the calculations required are in fact much more complicated, and the results are similar or even worse than those from the previous model, since Model 5 requires more training data. In brief, this model can be ignored here as it mainly concerned calculation issues and added nothing new from a linguistic point of view. The translation or processing stage. At this point, we need to remind the listener that with the statistical approach, the translation process consists of two fundamental steps. The system first uses a very large corpus of bitexts, text aligned at sentence level, to automatically acquire information about the translations of words and about the possible alignment of all the words at sentence level. This is what we have described in the previous section. This phase is often called the training or learning phase, or even encoding phase, since this stage involves encoding information about the language. The knowledge extracted from the bilingual corpus is then used during the processing phase, also known as the test or online phase, to translate new sentences submitted to the system. This stage is also known as the decoder, since the system tries to decode the input sentence as one would decode a secret message. Each time a new sentence in the source language is submitted as input, the system splits the sentence into words, looks for the most likely translation for each word, and takes into account the constraints on word order as given by the translation model. The language model makes it possible to evaluate the probability of different candidate translations in the target language. This is crucial for the quality of the result. Thanks to the language model, it is possible to consider translations that are not necessarily based on the most probable equivalencies at word level. The translation of a sentence made only by concatenating the most probable translation of each single word may have a very low probability as a whole, whereas a sequence of words including translational words with a lower probability may have, at sentence level, a higher probability. Let us take an example. The sentence, "The motion fails," contains the word motion, for which the most probable translation is mouvement. By default, a translation based uniquely on the most probable words would therefore be "Le mouvement est rejeté," which does not mean anything in French. The translation "La motion est rejetée" is much more probable, even if motion is less probable than mouvement for the English word motion. This translation is the correct one, which is rightly predicted by the model. Finding the best translation actually involves sorting through a multitude of possible choices, each word having multiple translation equivalents or even not being translated into the target language. The module known as the decoder is responsible for finding the best translation possible. Its role is to find the solution that maximizes the score at sentence level, taking the translation model and the language model into account. The techniques employed to solve this kind of problem can be relatively complex from a computational point of view. The goal is to gradually eliminate the least probable local hypotheses to efficiently converge toward the most probable global solution. This type of algorithm is not specific to machine translation, but is already frequently used for speech analysis. As for speech, finding a good translation involves calculating an optimal score from a very large number of partial analyses that overlap and are often incompatible with one another. Back to the roots of the domain. The IBM models are in some ways a return to the roots of the domain, since the techniques proposed very directly echo several of Weaver's 1949 propositions. The fact that the module aiming at producing the translation is sometimes called a decoder is no coincidence. This is a reminder of the general model of communication, and the goal is to decode the source text by translating it into the target language. The models designed by IBM achieved phenomenal success. They were revised, modified, and improved. They remain the basis of most machine translation systems used today, although all the major players in the field are now moving towards a new kind of technique called deep learning. However, these models also have their own limitations, the main one being that they require huge quantities of data to achieve reasonable performance. In the following chapter, we will take a look at recent developments around these models, but also at the situation of rare languages for which not enough data are available to achieve accurate statistical translation systems. 10. Segment-based machine translation. We heard in the previous chapter the success of the models developed by IBM for machine translation. One of the main limitations of these models is the fact that they are mainly based on alignment at word level. That is, they mainly produce word-for-word translations, even if they also allow 1-to-M alignments, where one word in the source language corresponds to several words in the target language. This chapter covers developments that took place in the 1990s and 2000s that aimed to overcome the main limitations of the IBM models. We examine how information of a syntactic and semantic nature has been progressively integrated into models to compensate for the limitation of purely statistical approaches. Toward segment-based machine translation. The IBM models have been subjected to numerous enhancements. The most significant improvement was to take into consideration the notion of segments or sequences of words in order to overcome the limitation of a simple word-for-word translation. Among the other improvements, the notion of double alignment is worth mentioning, since it greatly increases the quality of the search for translations at word level in bilingual corpora. Double alignment. The IBM models are able to recognize correspondences such that for one word in the source language, there is 0, 1, or N words in the target language. However, the original IBM models, because of their formal basis, do not make it possible to obtain the opposite correspondences. In other words, one word from the target language cannot correspond to a multi-word expression in the source language, for example. This is a strong limitation of these models that has no linguistic basis, since multi-word expressions clearly exist in every language. It therefore seemed necessary to overcome this limitation imposed by the IBM models in order to allow for M-to-N alignments, where any number of words from the source language corresponds to any number of words in the target language. The original IBM article specifically mentioned the example in which the models proposed in 1993 were unable to handle. One way of overcoming this problem is to first calculate the alignments from the source language into the target language, then repeat the operation in the opposite direction, from the target language into the source language. The shared alignments are kept, namely those concerning words that have been aligned in both directions. The alignments obtained using this technique are generally precise, but provide a low coverage of the bytexts. Globally, this method has two major defects. First, the process is more complex than a simple alignment, and is therefore more costly in terms of computation time. Second, at the end of the process, a large number of words are no longer aligned because the constraints imposed by the double direction analysis cause numerous alignments identified in a single direction to be rejected. Various heuristics then have to be used to expand the alignments to neighboring words in order to compensate for the coverage problems incurred. The double alignments, or symmetric alignments, can be seen as islands of confidence. It has been shown that this method improves the results of the original IBM models. However, in order to obtain a good coverage of the data with these models, it is necessary to have huge quantities of data, which makes them impractical in some circumstances. The generalizations of segment-based machine translation. We have seen that the double alignment approach helps to identify M-to-N translational equivalencies, such as don't have any money, sont démunis, where four English words amount to two French words. In fact, it is possible to generalize the approach so to consider the problem of translation as an alignment problem at the level of sequences of words, and not at the level of isolated words only. The goal is to translate at the phrase level, that is, sequences of several words. This would enable the context to be better taken into account and would thus offer translations of better quality than simple word-for-word equivalencies. Several research groups have tackled this problem since the late 1990s, and various strategies have been explored. One strategy is to systematically symmetrize the alignments in order to identify all the possible M-to-N alignments. Other researchers have tried to directly identify linguistically coherent sequences in texts through rules describing syntactic phrases, for example. This can be seen as a first attempt to introduce a light syntactic analysis in the translation process. A last line of research tried to import some techniques from the example-based paradigm, the idea being to make the alignment process both more robust and more precise by aligning from tags and not from word forms. For example, the following two sentences may seem very different for a computer since several words are different. In September 2008, the crisis. And in October 2009, the crisis. However, if the system is able to recognize date expressions, it is possible to recognize the structure in date, the crisis, in both sentences. They can thus be aligned successfully. This technique can significantly improve the quality of the alignment. The results obtained by these models show a clear improvement in comparison to the more complex IBM models, notably IBM Model 4. However, the results are still very dependent on the training data. The more data there are, the more accurate the models will be. Moreover, segment models require a lot more training data than models based only on word alignment. Finally, it should be noted that the notion of segments does not generally correspond to the notion of phrases. A closer look at the results obtained shows that the segments obtained by training from large bilingual corpora correspond to frequent but fragmentary groups of words. For example, table of or table based on. On the contrary, limiting the analysis to linguistically coherent phrases, for example, the table or on the table, seriously affects the results. In other words, if one forces the system to focus on linguistically coherent sequences corresponding to syntactically complete groups, the results are not as good as with a purely mechanical approach that does not take syntax into account. The most challenging part of segment-based translation is for the system to produce a relevant sentence from scattered pieces of translation. Consider a simplified but typical view of the situation after the selection of translation fragments. This view is simplified because here the sentence to be translated is short, the number of segments to be taken into account is limited, and in real systems, all fragments have a probability score. It is clear that only the careful selection of some fragments can lead to a meaningful translation. The language model of the target language helps in finding the most probable sequence in the target language. In other words, it tries to separate linguistically correct sentences from incorrect ones, independently from the source sentence at this stage. As one can easily imagine, these models are much more complex than the original IBM models based on simple words. Thus, they may require considerable processing time compared to the original IBM models. The increasing computational power of computers somewhat compensates for this problem. From a linguistic point of view, it should be noted that these models fail to identify discontinuous phrases, where one word in the source language corresponds to two non-contiguous words in the target language, which are crucial in languages such as French or German. English, I bought the car. German, ich habe das Auto gekauft. English, I don't want. French, je ne veux pas. The recent developments we have described in this section have, however, helped improve the IBM models and can still be considered currently as the state of the art in machine translation. Introduction of linguistic information into statistical models. Statistical translation models, despite their increasing complexity to better fit language specificities, have not solved all the difficulties encountered. In fact, bilingual corpora, even large ones, remain insufficient at times to properly cover rare or complex linguistic phenomena. One solution is to then integrate more information of a linguistic nature in the machine translation system to better represent the relations between words, syntax, and their meanings, semantics. Alignment models accounting for syntax. The statistical models described so far are all direct translation systems. They search for equivalencies between the source language and the target language at word level, or at best, they take into consideration sequences of words that are not necessarily linguistically coherent, a strategy that takes into account the fragments identified on a purely statistical basis is more efficient than a strategy that only retains linguistically motivated phrases, for example, noun phrases or verb phrases. Several attempts have been made, nonetheless, to take better account of syntax in the machine translation process. This can be done through the integration of parsers, also known as syntactic analyzers. A parser is a tool that tries to automatically identify the syntactic structure of the sentences to be analyzed. If we recall Vauquois triangle, syntax makes it possible to take into account the relations between words. For example, there may be a relation between distant words in the sentence that is very difficult to spot with a purely statistical model. Parsers, however, are theoretically able to consider the relations between the words, even in cases where those words are not adjacent on the surface. In Vauquois' words, syntax involves transfer rules between equivalent syntactic structures, not a word-for-word translation. From a theoretical perspective, this type of approach can better analyze discontinuous morphemes that may be common in some languages, as in the example in German, Ich habe das Auto gekauft, where the analyzer should identify habe gekauft as a whole despite the distance between the two words. Syntax can also help represent the connection between a preposition and the following noun phrase, or between the verb and its arguments, subject, object, etc., that are frequently distant from one another. As already said, this approach requires parsers, automatic syntactic analyzers, for the various languages to be processed. However, these are complex tools, far from perfect, whose quality varies considerably depending on the language considered. Applying such tools to machine translation is thus a complex operation. One basic approach for the integration of a parser in a machine translation system is to analyze the structure of the source sentence so as to produce a syntactic tree, and then, for each level of the syntactic tree, try to determine an equivalent structure in the target language. As one can imagine, identifying equivalent structures between different languages is a daunting challenge that results in a lot of silence. In other words, many of the sentences to be translated include structures that will never have been observed up to that point in the training data, that is, in the available aligned bilingual corpora. It is therefore necessary to imagine a process that makes it possible to translate even if the system cannot analyze the whole sentence properly from a syntactic point of view. Different strategies have been tried, especially generalization tricks inherited from the example-based paradigm, where one tries to find a similar structure if a sentence or a part of a sentence cannot be properly analyzed. It also happens for some language pairs that a parser exists for one language, the source or the target language, but not for the other one. Some experiments have been done to integrate the parser only on one side of the translation process with mixed results. Globally, the idea of integrating syntax in the translation process seems, of course, promising. However, the approach is still in its infancy and, for the time being, has not obtained better results than the simpler models using direct translation techniques based on segments. The first reason is certainly the highly variable performance of syntactic parsers. Moreover, if the tool makes an error, it will percolate throughout the entire translation process. The silence issue, that is, syntactic structures for which the parser is unable to provide a relevant analysis or for which there is no direct equivalent in the target language, is the other main cause of this limited performance. The problem is, in a way, logical. things are often phrased differently in different languages. It is thus not surprising that no directly equivalent structures can be found in the target language. This is surely a serious challenge for the integration of syntactic parsers in the translation process. So far, syntax seems to be especially useful in certain specific contexts, or for certain languages like German, where the verb is frequently broken into two elements, as we have heard. The main benefit of the approach is that it performs a local and limited syntactic analysis to resolve some of the specific problems of each language. All of this makes syntax both a serious avenue to improve existing systems and a difficult solution to implement in practice. Alignment models accounting for semantics. Semantic analysis clearly remains a crucial perspective for the domain. We have seen that the systems thus far have mainly used large bilingual corpora as their main source of data. We have also seen that the integration of linguistic knowledge has brought very little benefit to the different systems so far. However, most experts in the field think that, despite everything, it will be necessary in the short or medium term to integrate semantic information in order to overcome current limitations. In fact, semantic resources are already used, even by well-known available systems. For example, Google Translate integrates WordNet, a large lexical database developed at Princeton University for English. Google also uses other semantic resources, depending on the language considered. Semantic resources may be useful to disambiguate ambiguous elements. For example, if the system has to translate, "the tank was full of water," it must decide if "tank" represents a container that receives something, or a military vehicle. WordNet offers a long list of synonyms for tank as container, including the word bucket. The sentence, "the bucket was full of water," is well attested, whereas "the armored vehicle was full of water" is not nearly as attested, which compels the user to identify tank as representing a container, or more precisely, a reservoir, in the sentence. The integration of large databases of synonyms makes it possible to group certain words, essentially nouns and verbs, into semantic classes, thus providing a more abstract representation. The system can then spot identical structures beyond surface divergence. The semantic analysis may also focus on identifying specific sequences, such as named entities, proper nouns, dates, etc., again for the purpose of providing more general and more abstract representations. This is very close to the strategies we have already seen for example-based translation. A deeper semantic analysis could provide a representation of the semantic structure of the sentences to translate. This applies particularly to the verb, its arguments, and their role in the sentence. Subject, object, or even better, agent, patient, temporal argument, etc. This corresponds to the vertex of Vauquois' triangle. Although many research groups currently focus on these issues in natural language processing, the performance is still too low to be applied as they are to any text, as must be the case for machine translation systems. This remains an open line of research for the years to come, but it will most likely take several more years before efficient systems integrating a semantic analysis become available, given the difficulty of the tasks. 11. Challenges and limitations of statistical machine translation. Following the historical overview, it is worth examining some of the limitations of statistical machine translation systems. One fundamental question is related to the approach itself. Is it really possible to translate just by putting together sequences of words extracted from very large bilingual corpora? What quality can be expected with such an approach? We will return to this topic at the end of this chapter. In the meantime, we wish to address two other issues with this approach. It is clear that sentence alignment works better when there is a certain proximity between the language of the source text and the language of the target text. This has an impact on the performance one can expect from a machine translation system. How far can we go with the statistical approach when it is applied to genetically distant languages? Is translation from Chinese or Arabic to English doomed to lag behind? Lastly, statistical translation presupposes the availability of large bilingual training corpora. Thus, problems arise once one leaves the very restricted circle of the best represented languages on the Internet. The question of language diversity. Languages distant from English. As we have heard, the majority of machine translation systems today use a statistical approach. Identifying translational equivalents at word or segment level works better when similar languages are involved, since these languages will share a similar linguistic structure. This can be seen very directly in the performance of various systems. It is easier to translate between French or German and English than between Arabic and Japanese or Chinese and English. Even between these languages, there are crucial differences. For example, translating from German into English works better than translating from English into German, since compound words in German, that is, the complex combination of several simple words into a single string of characters, remains problematic for automatic processing. We know relatively well how to automatically decompose existing compounds in German, therefore, compound words are not so problematic when translating to English. It remains quite difficult, however, for an automatic system to generate correct compound words in German, which means that poor translations will be produced when translating to German. Translating into Japanese, or more recently, Chinese or Arabic, has generated a significant amount of research. Performance, compared to those obtained with Indo-European languages such as French or Spanish, remains lower as these languages have a structure that is very different from English. For these languages, the development of hybrid systems integrating a statistical component but also advanced linguistic modules that take language specificities into account will likely be the main source of progress in the years to come. It is already the case for morphologically rich languages, for example. That is, languages for which a lot of different surface forms can be generated from one basic linguistic form. Language-specific modules dealing with morphology issues are very helpful in enhancing the overall performance of natural language processing systems in this context. The case of rare languages and the return of pivot languages. All statistical systems require a huge amount of bilingual texts in order to work satisfactorily. Corpora made of millions of aligned sentences are nowadays commonplace. As Mercer said, there is no data like more data. Consequently, it is clear that beyond a handful of languages that are widely used on the Internet, the system's performance decreases considerably, especially if one of the languages, source or target, is not English. The quantities of data available on the Internet for these languages are simply insufficient to obtain good performance. Some techniques have been developed to overcome the lack of bilingual data. For example, it is possible to obtain more information from large monolingual corpora, but this remains insufficient for the task. A popular strategy consists in trying to design translation systems that use English as a pivot language in order to overcome, to a certain extent, the lack of training data. The idea is that when there are not enough bilingual data between the two languages, for example, between Greek and Finnish, a solution is to translate first from Greek into English and then from English into Finnish. The approach is simple and can provide interesting results in some contexts. However, it does not fully solve the problem. The quality of the translation to and from English is sometimes mediocre, and applying two steps of translation instead of one also multiplies the likelihood of errors. The problem of multiple translations is well known and can be observed even when one tries to translate iteratively between the same two languages. For example, from English to French and then back to English. The prototypical example is probably this biblical sentence: "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The story goes that this was translated into Russian and then translated back into English as, "The whiskey is strong, but the meat is rotten." Yet this is indeed an apocryphal example. The longevity of this invented example is due to the comical nature of the resulting translation, but it also illustrates the fact that multiplying translation steps amounts to gradually straying away from the original text until an incomprehensible translation is obtained. Despite these well-known problems with the pivot approach, many critics have pointed out that Google Translate increasingly uses English as a pivot language. This often leads to strange results. As Frederic Kaplan noted on his blog, with Google Translate, il pleut des cordes can be translated to Italian as piove cani e gatti. Likewise, cette fille est jolie, strangely enough, transforms into questa ragazza è abbastanza. This girl is quite. These major errors are due to the fact that English is used as a pivot language. In the French expression il pleut des cordes, Google identifies a frozen expression that should not be translated word for word. It rains cats and dogs is thus a good English translation in this context, but the system then fails to find the equivalent expression in Italian and then just performs a word for word translation, which is poetic but not really accurate. As for jolie in the other example, the system identifies pretty as an equivalent adjective, but then seems to confuse the adjectival and the adverbial values of pretty in English, hence the translation related to quite, abbastanza, instead of pretty as nice or beautiful. These examples quickly lose their relevance as Google constantly updates its system. Kaplan's blog post dates from November 15, 2014, and on December 1st, the translation il pleut des cordes in Italian had already become piove a dirotto, which is a correct translation. It is clear that Google works intensively to improve the translation of frozen and multi-word expressions like il pleut des cordes in French or it rains cats and dogs in English. These expressions are special since they should be translated as a whole and not literally. There are obviously no cats or dogs falling from the sky when one says the English expression. This is a major source of enhancement for current systems, but the task is huge since there are a large number of frozen expressions in any language. Clearly, using English as a pivot language has several implications. It reinforces the dominant position of English as a world language and its cultural hegemony. Besides this, and despite official discourse promoting language diversity, it is clear that the research effort is mainly directed toward dominant languages, the handful of languages dominating the Internet. Google Translate can officially translate between more than 100 languages, but in practice, the results are very uneven and almost unusable for some languages. Finally, we must keep in mind that the advances since the 1990s in the field of statistical machine translation are related to the fact that more and more data are available, but also to an increase in computing power. The deep learning approach uses some algorithms that were to a certain extent described in the 1980s, but that researchers were unable to apply in practice due to the limitations of machines at the time. Things have changed, and it comes as no surprise that it is the companies with huge computational capacities that are now developing the most efficient systems. How to quickly develop machine translation systems for new languages. Despite the current predominance of statistical machine translation systems, we should note the persistence of rule-based systems. At the same time, the majority of historical systems are now said to be hybrid. They attempt to combine the benefits of a symbolic approach, that is, dictionaries with very wide coverage, transfer rules between languages, with the recent benefits of statistical techniques. Lastly, for rare languages with too few data to make it possible to develop statistical systems, rule-based systems remain the norm. Hybrid machine translation systems. Following the success of statistical translation systems, the majority of traditional systems based on large lexicons and transfer rules gradually tried to incorporate statistical information in their approach. A striking example is Sistran, which was the proponent of the rule-based approach in the early 2000s before developing a hybrid approach to translation based on both knowledge and statistics. There is, in particular, a clear benefit in using a language model to control the fluency of the translation generated. Sistran first used statistics to correct the output and produce more fluent translations. In practice, statistical information can be integrated in an infinite number of ways into systems that otherwise manipulate symbolic information. It is, for example, possible to design modules that will dynamically adapt the system, the dictionaries and the rules used for translation, according to the domain. For example, in the medical, legal, and information technology domains. The statistical approach can also help choose the correct translation at word level. For example, if the system detects a text related to the military domain, the meaning of tank as a military vehicle will be preferred to its other meaning of receptacle. The overall idea is, of course, to combine the richness of existing resources, which are sometimes the result of years of research and development, with the efficiency of statistical approaches. It is now possible to say that the gap has largely closed between the rule-based and the statistical approaches. Today, most commercial systems are hybrid. We saw previously that even Google is integrating more and more semantic resources into its system, making it a truly hybrid system. The survival of rule-based systems. Finally, the survival of conventional systems based on rules and bilingual dictionaries only, with little or no statistics at all, should also be noted. When there are too few bilingual corpora available, the statistical approach is no longer of great interest. Different systems exist for the development of rule-based systems. Apertium, www.apertium.org, is one such platform. The system was originally intended to be used for closely related languages that required a limited number of transfer rules. For example, for two dialects or two closely related languages, differing mainly in their vocabulary, but not so much in their syntax. But after a while, the platform turned out to be also useful for all underrepresented languages on the Internet. It has even since specialized in processing rare languages like Basque, Breton, or North Sami, a language from the north of Scandinavia, which are available in this system. The system has data available for about 30 languages, but translation is only possible for 40 translation pairs, most of the time in one direction only. The performance is variable depending on the language pair considered, and most of the implemented language pairs are based on bilingual dictionaries and reordering rules. One of the goals of this project is to promote rare languages and provide access to texts that would not be translated otherwise. It also aims to generate interest for these languages, which, for the most part, are endangered. A current challenge, the rapid development of translation systems for new language pairs. Here we must say a few words on one of the current challenges in the field of machine translation. The rapid development of translation systems for languages that have not been covered up to now. This concerns mainly the defense and intelligence industry. Surveillance and intelligence needs evolve rapidly depending on geopolitical risks. From a technical point of view, the challenge is to collect bilingual corpora very quickly for the languages considered. While automatic corpus collection is a well-known technique nowadays, the volume of data collected is often insufficient in practice to develop operational machine translation systems. Since most of the time the target is a language that is distant from English, the result is not as good as for closely related language pairs. In this context, the statistical approach is not the predominant one. The task consists for the most part in developing large bilingual dictionaries manually. Monolingual corpora are collected and processed so as to automatically produce a large list of words in the target language. Then an automatic process, or more likely, a team of linguists will proceed to provide word translations so as to make it possible to quickly develop a rudimentary translation system. The production speed of such a system closely depends on the number of linguists that can be hired for the project, but this type of demand currently represents a significant part of the machine translation business. Too many statistics. The current situation of machine translation poses many fundamental questions for the field. Is semantics necessary to translate, or can we settle for statistics? Also, can we say that current systems, specifically those based on statistics, are completely stripped of semantics? Finally, are the approaches used today going to allow for significant progress, or, on the contrary, can we anticipate some strong limitations that will prevent improvements in the near future? Primary limitations of statistics-based systems. Experts in the field have discussed all these questions. Systems are now based on highly technical machine learning approaches, and linguistics has been left aside. As we will hear in Chapter 14, commercial issues are important and put pressure on developers to find efficient short-term solutions. At the same time, the progress of systems is measured annually in evaluation conferences. Competition is strong, leaving little time for reflecting on the current state of affairs. It is first of all crucial to recall that since the 1990s we have seen real and undeniable progress in the field of machine translation. Statistical methods made it possible to better process a large number of frequent and important phenomena, such as the search for the best translation at word level, the management of local ambiguities, the relative contribution of different linguistic constraints when they seem to contradict one another, etc. These phenomena were generally not solved satisfactorily by rule-based methods. However, the success of statistical models was such that even some of its proponents have called recent progress into question. Some local phenomena are relatively satisfactorily solved by current statistical techniques, but more complex phenomena should also be taken into account. Many very frequent linguistic phenomena, agreement, coordination, pronoun resolution, would indeed require a more complex analysis. They are poorly or not at all addressed by statistical systems, but note that this also applies to most rule-based systems that also focus on local context. The state of the art is just too limited to deal with these complex issues. Syntactic analysis is hard, but semantics is even harder, and we are still far from knowing how to address this kind of problem properly. Statistics do not exclude semantics. One interesting question concerning recent approaches to machine translation is the status of statistics in this context. It is widely assumed that statistics are opposed to semantics. On the one hand, calculation, on the other hand, representation of word and sentence meaning. Yet this opposition is too crude. As we have heard in the previous chapters, statistics make it possible to accurately model the different meanings of words according to the context. Statistics are also efficient to find translational equivalencies at word or phrase level. This raises another question. What, by the way, is the meaning of a word? How can we represent it? It is indeed very difficult to define the meaning of words precisely. This is the job of lexicographers who spend years developing dictionaries, but the enumeration of word meanings they propose is known to be quite subjective and does not always correspond with word usage in context. Moreover, definitions vary significantly from one dictionary to the other, especially for abstract concepts and functional words. Given this state of affairs, it should be taken into account that although accurate definitions are hard to find, it is easy for any speaker of a language to give synonyms of a given word or examples of word usage in context. The various word meanings correspond, in fact, to various contexts of use. The challenge thus lies in defining and characterizing the notion of context. In other words, how can one determine the various meanings of a given word just by observing its usage within a very large corpus? How can usage patterns be identified? Lexicographers, responsible for writing dictionaries, generally use a multitude of tools and criteria to define the various word meanings, and they try to be comprehensive, regular, and coherent. Statistics help automate the process and obtain results that are often different, but always interesting. Multilingual corpora provide a direct and quite natural model for the question of word meaning. The more vague or ambiguous a word is, the more it will match with a variety of different words in the target language. In contrast, the more stable and fixed an expression is, for example, cryptography in French, the more it will be aligned with a limited number of words, such as cryptography in English, because the word is not or less ambiguous. For the same reasons, the approach is able to recognize the fact that a multi-word expression like pomme de terre in French corresponds in the target language to a single word, potato, in English. The same is true for frozen expressions, kick the bucket or passer l'arme à gauche, which both mean to die. Statistical approaches may seem too simple or too crude, but the system will not produce frapper le seau for kick the bucket or pass the weapon to the left for passer l'arme à gauche if it has been properly trained. But these kinds of problems may occur when frozen expressions are not properly recognized, as already said in this chapter. These examples show that statistical analysis therefore leads to a direct modeling of polysemy, idioms, and frozen expressions without any predefined linguistic theory. It can even be claimed that the type of representation obtained from a statistical analysis is more appropriate and cognitively more plausible than what formal approaches propose. Notions such as ambiguity and polysemy, or in other words, meaning, are closely linked to usage and are not absolute notions. In this respect, it is understandable that statistical analysis can help define the various meanings of a word, the different contexts in which it appears, and so on. Numerous linguists and philosophers have defended such ideas, from Ludwig Wittgenstein to John Rupert Firth, the latter of whom is the author of the famous quote, "You shall know a word by the company it keeps." That is, you know the meaning of a word by its context of use. This remark has been cited again and again in modern natural language processing texts. Current approaches may not have anything to say about Wittgenstein or Firth, but they are beyond doubt very close to the text, and they have eliminated everything that was metaphysical in semantics. The quest for artificial modes of representation, the idea of a universal language, the goal of transforming sentences into logical forms, etc. It is possible that current approaches will form the basis of a new theory of meaning. However, the remarks made at the beginning of this chapter should be kept in mind. Representations used by statistical machine translation systems remain local for the most part, which does not make it possible to address many of the fundamental problems related to semantics. Lexical semantics, that is, the meaning of words, is relatively well formalized today, but propositional semantics, that is, the meaning of sentences and the relations between them, remains very difficult to achieve and thus, to a large extent, a terra incognita. This is what a new approach known as deep learning or neural machine translation, which we describe in the following chapter, is trying to solve. 12. Deep Learning Machine Translation. Over the past several years, a new type of statistical learning called deep learning or hierarchical learning has emerged in the wake of neural networks. Neural networks were originally inspired by the biological brain. Neurons transmit and process basic information from which the brain is able to build complex concepts and ideas. Artificial neural networks, like the brain, are supposed to be able to build complex concepts from different pieces of information assembled in a hierarchical manner. But, as outlined in Goodfellow et al., the modern term deep learning goes beyond the neuroscientific perspective on the current breed of machine learning models. It appeals to a more general principle of learning multiple levels of composition, which can be applied in machine learning frameworks that are not necessarily neurally inspired. This approach has received extensive press coverage. This was particularly the case in March 2016 when Google DeepMind's system AlphaGo, based on deep learning, beat the world champion in the game of Go. This approach is especially efficient in complex environments such as Go, where it is impossible to systematically explore all the possible combinations due to combinatorial explosion. That is, there are very quickly too many possibilities to be able to explore all of them systematically. The complexity of human languages is somewhat different. The overall meaning of a sentence or of a text is based on ambiguous words, with no clear-cut boundaries between word senses and all in relation to one another. Moreover, word senses do not directly correspond across different languages, and the same notion can be expressed by a single word or by a group of words, depending on the context and language considered. This explains why it is impossible to manually specify all the information that would be necessary for an automatic machine translation system, but also why the translation task has remained highly challenging and computationally expensive up to the present time. In this context, deep learning provides an interesting approach that seems especially fitted for the challenges involved in improving human language processing. An overview of deep learning for machine translation. Deep learning achieved its first success in image recognition. Rather than using a group of predefined characteristics, deep learning generally operates from a very large set of examples, hundreds of thousands of images of faces, for example, to automatically extract the most relevant characteristics, called features in machine learning. Learning is hierarchical, since it starts with basic elements, pixels in the case of an image, characters or words in the case of a language, in order to identify more complex structures, segments or lines in an image, sequences of words or phrases in the case of a language, until it obtains an overall analysis of the object to be analyzed, a form, a sentence. An analogy is often drawn with human perception. On the one hand, the brain analyzes groups of simple items very rapidly in order to identify higher-level characteristics. And on the other hand, it recognizes complex forms from characteristic features and can even extrapolate a complex representation from partial information. This is essentially what happens in the case of the Necker cube, where the brain infers a three-dimensional representation from a two-dimensional drawing. In the case of machine translation, deep learning makes it possible to envision systems where very few elements are specified manually. The idea being to let the system infer by itself the best representation from the data. This was, in a way, already the idea with purely statistical models, but we have seen that, in fact, many parameters had to be adjusted manually. For example, five models were proposed in the early 1990s by IBM for machine translation, each model introducing a different manually defined representation to correct certain defects of the previous model. Deep learning, on the contrary, makes it possible, at least in theory, to learn complex characteristics fully autonomously and gradually from the data, without any prior human effort. A translation system based solely on deep learning, also known as deep learning machine translation or neural machine translation, thus simply consists of an encoder, the part of the system that analyzes the training data, and a decoder, the part of the system that automatically produces a translation from a given sentence based on the data analyzed by the encoder. We have already seen this vocabulary for the traditional statistical approach, but here the encoder and the decoder are based uniquely on a neural network, whereas traditional statistical approaches use a combination of modules, typically a language module and a translation module for the encoder part, to be able to use different optimization strategies. In a neural network, each word is encoded through a vector of numbers, and all the word vectors are gradually combined to provide a